Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders, Movember and the Royal Highland Agricultural Society of Scotland. My next guest is a super positive guy who has lots of passions and is also a skilled podcaster. So I better be on my game. Wallace Curry has a big personality, but it hasn't always been straightforward. And today he is brave and kind enough to share the ups and downs he has experienced in his 28 years on this planet so far. Welcome to this Farmstrong podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think you've got a great look. Can I just say that? It's very distinctive. I mean, I saw a photo of you when I was doing my research, but when you came on, it's even, I'm referring to the beard, obviously.
I did assume.
Not the hair on your head, but it's even bushier than a photo I've seen. Has this been cultivated?
I mean, there was a person, Duncan Robertson, who was a farmer near home. And ever since I met Duncan, he had a beard probably half the size of this. But I thought when I was a kid, it was like Gandalf, you know, and it was the coolest thing ever. And I've always wanted it. I've been fully shaved twice since I was 17. But this is knocking on the longest it's been because I'm basically working from home. So I can try and grow it out at the minute. But it's much smaller than it looks because of the light's catching it there. So if I go like that, it disappears.
Well, so you've actually put that, you know, I like it. You've actually enhanced it with the background lighting. Oh, good, that's good.
For sure,
so, okay, yeah. Quick pros and cons of having a beard.
So the pro, I really don't like the heat all that much. The pros are in summer, your face is cool. And funnily enough, on the flip side, in the winter time, your face is never freezing. So that's beneficial. And I just think I've got a really fat face, so I hate that as well.
Are you hiding a double chin? Not that I think you are, but...
Not double, Sarah. I mean, we're well into high multiplication at this point, it must be said. But
I don't believe that.
Smaller over the last few weeks, so hopefully getting smaller, but I haven't seen it in a while. So.
Well, you've just referred to the first subject I wanted to touch upon, which was you had an amazing week last week. You were abseiling and doing lots of personal challenges, and I hear you had to sort of lose quite a lot of weight to do that.
I did, yeah. The actual challenge was the worst thing ever. I hated it, to be quite honest. But here, I would never want to sponsor someone doing something they're good at. I did the abseil off the Port Elith Distillery. Was it 42 metres, 40-something metres? Which sounds like nothing. And when you look at the building, it looks like nothing. But let me tell you, when you're up the top, it feels like a lot. But yeah, I was speaking to Mikey Rolfe, who was the West Chair of SAYFC, just on the 27th of March it was, and the abseil was the 11th of May. And he was like, oh, I've just got to make sure I don't hit 120 kg. He'd probably be under that quite notably. And I'm like, ah, yeah, whatever. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean?
Come again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why? Like, what's the point in that? And he's like, oh, I've got to be 120 kg. And I won't repeat on the podcast what I said, but I was like, I sort of found out and I was like, oh my God, I do. So yeah, I went home and I sort of hatched a nutrition plan and lost, I don't really know, because I think it was 139 kg, but I was in that bracket, so give or take 20 kilos roughly, because I think I was 118 on the day. So
in about a month you lost that then?
One day shy of 6 weeks, so a month and a half, yeah, 3 1/3 or 3 1/2 stone give or take, but I'm not very imperial in my measurements, it must be said. So,
and how do you feel having done that?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, there was periods of time where I've always been overweight, larger, but I've always been relatively healthy for my size. You know, I would walk multiple marathons in weeks at a time and whatnot and all that. But there was things like, you know, reaching for the plug in the bath and stuff like that, reaching for the taps, just tiny little things that I was like, this is bad that I can't do this. I'm 28. This is bad. So yeah, I had to lose it. I was noticing that I was big. I'd been 143 kilos before and I'd taken that down to maybe 125. And then I'd had a pretty rough winter, to be fair. I'm sitting here in Hills Green office. Hills Green's a marketing company down in Cheshire. And I'd taken a job here and I love the people, love the company, but I just probably realized the job wasn't for me. And I really wanted to focus on, funnily enough, the other side of this, Sarah, and your position as a podcaster. And I've built that business up over the winter time, but there was a lot of times where I was like, I have no money to my name. I am completely skint. And what do? You turn to the thing that makes you comfortable. And for me, that's always, unfortunately, been food. It was either food or gambling. I had a major gambling issue when I was younger. I mean, major. But I managed to go away from that, luckily, and hopefully that stays in the back of my life. But food's always been there since a kid, whether that was coming home from school and tanning 10 packets of crisps or whatever. That was still the case. You know, maybe it was to have an amazing meal mum's made and I'd still go for a Chinese. So
well done, you. That's an amazing achievement, not only to abseil that building, because I know you're scared of heights, but you know, to obviously focus on that weight loss. And do you think that's kickstarted a sort of a change, a shift?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everyone keeps referring to it as the diet I'm on. I don't really see it as that anymore. It's not like I go to the shop and I'm like, right, what can I avoid today? I don't really have the desire to go for the rubbish that I used to live off of. My 17% of my intake's protein, so I'm constantly satisfied. I'm never feeling empty. I basically haven't had carbs, which is not something I plan on doing long term, but I needed to do it for this period of time. And then last night I was at a friend Saba of mine's, who's from India, and she made a proper lamb biryani with
sounds good.
Oh, it was, but it was the first time I'd had carbs in 6 weeks. I felt so ill this morning.
One shouldn't underestimate how, you know, when we do something physically that makes us feel better. So if that's losing weight or exercise or whatever it is people need to do every day, for me it's a bit of exercise, if it's walking the dogs, how much that affects top bit.
Oh, 100%. And I don't know what it is. I think, you know, I think we put a lot of, in business or whatever, we talk about like creative people and creative time and stuff like that. I feel like I'm the least creative person on the planet, but everything I do now seems to be in a creative sector, whatever side of my life that is. But that doesn't just happen. You know, it's not like, right, we'll sit at a table and be creative. When I go a walk, when I do whatever, go see friends, that's probably when I'm thinking most about that stuff. So not only is it good for you know, the legs, good for your body, good for your head as well, but it's actually quite productive time for me, and I don't even realize it. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for that chill time and getting some steps in, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's 10,000, isn't it? That's what they say a day, or is it less now? I thought it was 8,000. They'd altered it to, but 10's right. A good number to aim for, 10,000.
So there was a 2-year period where I was doing about 130k a week, 130k steps a week. So that was about 110 kilometers I was walking a week. And that's obviously not the case now, but I'll be doing probably 9,500 a week now. I've always been week based, because you have your days that don't work, don't you? But it's just nice. It takes time. It absolutely takes time, but it's an important part of the day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I absolutely, but it's as you say, it's essential. So normally I start the podcast with a round of quick fire questions, but I don't even know how many minutes we're in. We'll totally digress. So I'm going to go back to the quick fire questions, because we quite like doing them, a bit of fun. I hope you're up for it.
Let's go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Go for it. Okay.
Talking so much that we didn't manage, but
I was too focused on your beard. but it's a great talking point. We must get conversations going in pubs and things like that and clubs. So first thing that comes to mind, your first answer, anything goes. There's no judgment here. Yes, there is. I'll be right. I'll be taking notes. Okay, so let's go, Wallace. What's a skill you're proud of?
Just my ability to talk to people, I think. I think that's a skill.
What's a habit you'd like to break?
Probably my addiction to gaming. Yeah.
Do you prefer cats or dogs?
Oh, cats every time.
Island or mainland?
I've got to say island. I've got to.
I know. I thought you might have to. How do you usually answer the telephone?
How are you getting on? You well?
What is your favourite body part?
Like of me?
Mm-hmm.
Probably my beard, actually. It's quite cool.
What is your favourite shop?
Mountain Warehouse is quite good.
Who is your best friend?
I've got so many. I can't. There's way too many. I could run off 10 or 12. I just can't say it. I'll say
diplomacy would go out the window, would it? What were you afraid of as a child?
Needles and heights.
One subject you would like to learn more about?
Astrology.
Is your bed made right now?
Always.
Like it. That's good. So you made your bed in the morning. That's good. That's the first sign that you're ready for the day.
I barely ever sleep in my own bed these days. So it's someone else's bed's been made.
So much to unpick there, Wallace.
No, say that. what I mean is, you know what I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Anyway, well, thank you very much for answering those questions. It's always interesting to put people on the spot like that and what they come up with. But take me back to Wallace growing up in Aran, family life, farm life, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many people who look at that with envy, and here, rightly so, I always got gutted there wasn't a cinema, but we did have the screen machine, so it came over in a lorry and it was there. But farm life for me as a kid was great, and then I definitely didn't want to be involved in that sector pretty much all of high school. It was footballer, but at that stage it looked more like the ball than the players. Maybe WWE wrestler as well. I quite liked the idea of that, which is probably still on the bingo card somewhere, to be fair. But our farms, it's an 800 hectare, just shy of 2,000 acre for old money farm. It's actually on a volcano. So Arch Fen is a volcano. So dad, and maybe one day if we don't fall out, I'll own a volcano, which is pretty cool, to be fair. But it erupted 60 million years ago. Caldera sort of flopped it in itself. But because it's there, well, there's EU protected on that. So it's a triple SI. So we've also got a hen harrier population, which is a specially protected area. So two EU directives, which sort of limits our stocking density. So on that farm, we run about 630 ewes across the stratification system. So on the hill, conventional blackies, swales, blackie swale crosses, and then the last few years. And I'm saying we, mum and dad, is what I mean. I've really moved them into cheviots, sort of, yeah, blackies and swales, from a wee bit wider when you're getting to mum and dad's age. So
I was going to say, your mum and dad, obviously, they're pretty hardy if they're controlling all of that and operating all of that. Did you get involved as a kid? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it as a kid, to be fair. And I've only missed one lambing, which was last year because I was in Brazil. But lambing's always been a thing. And when I'm there to help. But yeah, I've never been fully involved. And then, yeah, it's mum and dad do really well in the store market, really well. They would hate me saying that, but they do really well in the store market. And we've maybe taken on some of my partner's Dorset sheep in the last few months as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if instead of Wallace Curry running Bridge Farm at some point, it might be Jasmine's.
Oh, I like that. Farmers don't like to showboat, do they? Oh, no, don't tell people. You don't tell people we're successful.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about mum and dad. Are they still the ones that are running the farm? Is there anyone else that's in the wings?
No, I mean, I'm an only child and mum and dad were always completely whatever you want to do. So mum and dad run it. I think it's fair to say mum does the managerial side with the paperwork and that sort of thing. No, not at all. They're both in charge, split partnership. And then at lambing time, they take on someone else and hopefully I'm around, is basically how it works, to be honest.
Do you ever see yourself going back to it?
Yeah, I think ever is the important word there, probably. But there's a lot of things that I'm enjoying doing. I just love that place. There's something about it. I feel like I never feel at home anymore because I'm just running around everywhere. But there's something about Bridge Farm that does that. I'm not saying I would take it over. Mum and dad will probably go for some time. It's just their happy place. So, but if it was the stage that it was my decision, I would happily look at offering a tenancy to get someone into the sector for a while. But obviously that's down the line.
And I think given what went on last week, you spoke about having a bit of a challenge at the beginning of the year. I wonder if we can go back to that a little bit, because reading about you, looking at the stuff online, to me, you're coming across as somebody who's really flying personally and professionally at the moment. So, but take us back a couple of months. You talked about the beginning of the year and just being in a place that you just knew it wasn't quite right.
I think it's the way you spin it, isn't it? I mean, if you were to look at my life objectively in December, you could say, yeah, it was pretty good. I was emceeing a lot of events. I was speaking at events like after keynote speaking and stuff like that. I maybe just left a job that was great, but wasn't for me. But I'd made that decision for all the right reasons and I'd ended it in the right way. I had a social media presence that was generating me not quite a salary, but almost a salary. But certainly alongside the speaking, I was good. But I think I'd been flying so high for quite a few years that even that felt like a come down. And that's been a massive part of this winter. It's been like learning that like not everything is this constant positive trajectory. You know, I started lecturing at 23. And up until that stage, I'd pretty much been he's the one that's just going to be a student forever. He's not got that much of a work ethic. And that wasn't just an opinion of folk. I mean, that was the truth. I really didn't. And then I found my thing, and that was lecturing. With that, the podcast grew, lecturing grew. I became an Nuffield scholar, which is a thing that I never thought I was in the bracket of being involved in. Got involved in Young Farmers and joined the SLT just as quick as maybe anyone ever has. All of that was amazing. And everything, the other stuff that I always forget to mention that was amazing, whether that's travel, relationships, whatever, there's been so much good stuff in there. But I think Christmas time, I definitely have affected by that sad, you know, the seasonally affected disorder. If there's no logs to chop in winter time, I'm bored. Like, there's nothing else to do, you know. So, I mean, a mum walked in one day and she's like, what's up? You know, mums always read you better than everyone else. And I broke down and I cried, realizing I built up notable debt from that pretty high flying through years. Still don't regret that. Had to consolidate the debt and go through all that stuff, which is a process that's actually much easier than it is embarrassing. did all that and that was fine, and then set out a plan as to how do I get out of this 8 grand debt that I'm in, and sort of creating a plan towards that, which was much easier said than done. All while this was happening, I had had something like 5 interviews in my life, all of which had been as easy as can be. I find that situation very simple. Then there was 6 or 7, maybe 10, that just were not, you know, that was not how it was going anymore. I wasn't just walking into things like I thought I probably could. Is that just these constant hits, just keep hitting, keep hitting. A friend of mine, you asked who my best friend was, one of the names that's definitely in there is Emily Armitage. Emily said, she's like, you've got to like just learn who Wallace is and focus on Wallace for a bit. And I did exactly that. I stopped applying for jobs. Like, I was like, nah, screw that. That's not going to define me for now. I'm going to work out who I am. I've got an income from social media. I've got that. And then lo and behold, the next day, 4 things came forward. I think I'm so glad I had that, because even though those things came forward, I came with the mentality of, let's look at me first. I'm going to put a lot into a career in a minute, but let's chill out. And yeah, so yeah, things are good.
It's bold to do that though, isn't it? It's brave, you know, it's a brave thing to say, I'm going to take a step back. And I wanted to sort of rewind a little bit. You spoke about your mum sort of coming in and really sort of pushing you and perhaps breaking down that barrier. I mean, as a growing up, how happy, you know, were you as a child, as a teenager, you know, your formative years? What was Wallace like back then?
I had a great childhood. I think I've been really lucky, Sarah, to like, you know, wherever life is, you know, I've lived in Ayr, Dumfries, down here, Stoke Place, Glasgow, Arran, Edinburgh, wherever. Everywhere I've been, I've always settled really quickly. I've been quite lucky in that sense. I don't really care what I've got around me. I just need to be there and I'll meet some people and whatnot. And that was the case as a kid, you know, whether it was Shiskin or Lumlash and places on Arran. I just settled. What I probably struggled with was that the popularity chase is a massive thing in high school, isn't it? And I think in some ways I was extremely popular, but I wasn't cool. You know, I was a massive thing. It sounds so stupid saying this at 28, but I cared hugely about what folk thought of me, and I probably impacted myself more than other people did. But yeah, I had a really easy life. There's no hiding. I had a brilliant upbringing, great parents, great friends, great family. Awesome place to grow up, really, as Arran as well. So yeah.
You didn't know what you wanted to do, and that's hard when a lot of other people do.
Yeah, but do they, or have they been conditioned by school to feel they have to, so they come up with something? I always think school really pushes in this direction where if you're not good at these 8 subjects, you're not good. And if you're leaving in 5th and 6th year and not knowing what you want to do, then what are you going to do? And at that age, you're like, God, 19's the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an amazing thing when you do know what you want to do. I've never really felt it. I'm a bit like you. I sort of, and I have a son who's leaving in his last year of school, and he's uncertain about what he wants to do. And like you just said, when you leave school, you think, hey, you know, this is it. I've had it at school, you know, this is the sort of pinnacle. And I'm saying to him, you don't even know the best is yet to come. You have no idea. You think the school, once you leave school, it's going to end. There's no wrong path. But it's very hard to teach a 17, 18-year-old that there isn't a wrong path. And whatever path you go down might lead you in different directions. But for someone who does want to do mechanical engineering or medicine or law or accountancy and has that goal, that's incredible as well, because that drive is in them. And I'm always a wee bit envious that they are so certain.
And I think if I looked at it, at that age, I would agree. But I mean, again, when I'm on the other side of this discussion, Sarah, I've interviewed 350 people or whatever, and every single one of them has been asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I ran the transcripts through AI, and 98 of them so far have said, I don't want to know where I am in 5 years. I am in that bracket 100%, and I don't want to start creating that plan, because I know if I've got something that I know is happening whenever, and then something cool comes up, I'm going to be like, no, I can't, because this was arranged first. I've been very lucky, and I'm aware this is, there's a lot comes with this, that most weeks something comes up in my life and I'm like, yeah, amazing. Let's do that. And I think I'm now at the stage that's going to continue, and I just want to keep on that path. I think I'm going to continue sort of over the course of time, positive trajectory, and that's what I want to continue.
That really uncertainty, that's so it's so erratic, isn't it? That uncertainty, never knowing where your next potential paycheck might come from or where something might lead. You have to be quite confident or be quite certain that you're okay with that. And maybe you don't have responsibilities at the moment, so you can do that. And that's a lovely freedom.
It is 100%. And I think that, I mean, I've taken on a part-time job in recent weeks, which has been really fun. So that financial security is there. And it already is there with the podcast and all that as well. But I know I don't work amazing to a target. And I feel like I either absolutely knock targets out of the park or I'm miles away from them. And that doesn't do anything for me. Knocking them out of the park, I'm like, well, that was pointless. I was going to do it anyway. And not getting near them, I'm like, shit, am I not good at this? You know, I always think you shouldn't hit targets you hit. If you're setting your targets and you're hitting them all the time, you're setting them too easy. But I just prefer to just bundle through life. But you're right, there's different things for different people, and it'd be a pretty boring life if we didn't have a diversity in our professional career, you know.
And have you ever sought help? You know, you spoke about that really low period and your mum sort of, you know, obviously mums do know that something's going on. Did you ever seek external help?
So yeah, in various forms, actually. So yeah, the obvious stuff, those close to you. I'm probably quite a difficult boyfriend in that every partner I've had's probably seen that I seek help from people that I don't really know first and then go closer to home. And I think that's a protective thing of that partner, of that person closer to me. I speak to 10, 15 people a month through podcasting, and I probably open up to 8 or 9 of them, you know, just because I'm talking. My podcast's a great way for me to just talk. I never have any stresses on me because I've just said it to the world. And then I come home, closer to home, to those that know me, and I really try and sort of work on that. But I've also looked at professional help as well. I mean, I think a thing that couples should try is go for a counselling session and see how that goes. My partner and I love each other dearly, but we're completely different people. Like, booking a flight's a perfect example. I'm like, yeah, grand, had it, done. 3 weeks later, yeah, I'll be looking into it, you know? So that's a great thing. But also, personally, I was probably the person up until 24, 25 that thought counselling or whatever was a load of nonsense. I was like, oh, that's whatever, you know, you say all the words you can probably think of. And then I went through a horrendous 2 years and I was like, I'm not getting out of this. I'm not getting out. And I went to counselling. It was amazing. You know, Andy, who was my counsellor, we sat and chatted just about life. I said all the things I'd probably said to a lot of people, but I was able to sort of say it over the course of 6 hours and just talk through things and then got fascinated on how my brain worked. So we spoke of various things, like the fact, like, so Sarah, when you're thinking, walking through the park, for instance, and you're thinking, I'm going to guess you hear Sarah speaking your thoughts. My understanding is that's what most do. Think about it to actually realize. But what I do is I've got a little camera, like on a fountain pen, writing what I'm thinking. I just can't hear myself at all unless I speak out loud. He was like, oh, we've got to have a talk about this at our meetings with her, you know. I just got so enthralled by the whole thing. And then now with ChatGPT, I ask it loads of things about what thoughts mean and whatnot. So yeah, no, I'm
right.
I was completely unself-aware, lock everything up, blew up every few months, probably as sound as can be, and then this blow up that only those close to me saw, and that was never nice for them. Whereas now, yeah, you still have that, you know, you still have the challenging parts, but I'm very much aware of why I'm thinking things and whatnot, and I'll always just go back and have a chat with someone about whatever. So no, it's something I would advise, to be honest.
But I do think it is often easier to chat to somebody you don't know and open up than somebody close to you, because there is that worry of judgment and, you know, what they're thinking about what I'm saying and their experience of what I'm thinking might be different to what. Whereas if you have somebody who's completely neutral, I think it's sometimes easier to speak to them.
Yeah, agreed. And I think there's also that fear of, I don't want to, it's not a burden. Because, you know, friends came to me, a lot of friends do, students did, students that were my students still do, you know, it's not a burden in the slightest. It's almost a pleasure to hope you can be part of that assisting journey. But we all feel it, don't we, really? Oh, we don't want to do that to our friends, whatever. So, no, absolutely.
Thank you for sharing, because it's very open and honest of you, but you come across as a very open, honest person. And I think I can understand why people draw to you and want to share with you. It's a nice way to be.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you. I mean, had you been speaking to me 10 years ago, well, I'd been 18, I probably don't have any of the life experience I have now, but I would have been so scared to show that I was in any way weak. That would have been my fear. That would have just been awful. I mean, to think that I have feelings would have been shocking. But I find it so much more comfortable. If everyone knows how I feel, there's not that fear of getting found out. And a fear of getting found out is probably my big thing now, to be honest. If I feel like I've lied my way through something or hidden something, I feel so comfortable if everyone knows everything about me. There's a few things.
It's that mask slipping, isn't it? That public persona that people think you've got it sorted, you know what you're doing, you're in control. And yeah, sometimes it's hard to, you know, allow people to know that that's not the case.
Yeah, well, I mean, in 2020, I'd have been in trouble, but I never have a mask on. Like, it's just that who you see on this call is who I spoke to in Morrison's when my scanner wasn't working this morning. You know, like, it's the same person. I'm quite certain it is. Yeah, there's odd things that, obviously, but in general, it's pretty similar.
So let's talk young farmers. And just this, obviously, it's a very important week, Mental Health Awareness Week, and young farmers, and what you've been doing through your lecturing and podcast and just the sort of sense you get from that generation. I don't even know what, what are they, generation? Are they Gen Zs? I don't even know what generation I am, but yeah. I feel old. But just what the sense you're getting from, you know, the different generations of how things are changing, how people are dealing with things, and how, as you talk about that openness about expressing yourself and sharing.
I mean, there's a real full circle moment on this topic. Development and Wellbeing is the national committee through SAYFC that's in charge of sort of CPD training, the development side, and then Wellbeing, the obvious side, where we don't have any advice we give, but we can put someone in touch with someone that might need it through the likes of, I guess that wouldn't be Farmstrong, that would be more down the RSABI route, and things like Farmstrong to continue that sort of positive living through day-to-day life. But the chair of that, Elspeth Purdy, who's just taken chair last week, is first off an amazing person, but also the person that got me involved in Young Farmers. I was basically forced at an event, what will be 3 years ago next week. It's changed my life in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of things have, but that really is up there. I think, not young farmers, farmers are in a position where the business decisions rest on the shoulders of maybe one or two, sometimes really young people, sometimes really old people who are struggling with those decisions. We're spending a lot of time on our own, be that in a tractor, be that in the middle of a hill gathering sheep, whatever. And to some people, those things are amazing. But that, I know I wasn't good at it, getting in your head constantly. And with that, especially with things like COVID, when the shows were off and the markets were closed and all that, it was a horrendous time for people. It really was. So things like Young Farmers prevent that. Let's just take the COVID example as well. Things happened throughout the whole year. It might have been on Zoom, but it meant you saw your mates, it meant whatever. And now we're in, thank God, a normal life again. There's just something on every week. And we've just started a Young Farmers on Arran in recent months. And it's a small club, but we've had probably two or three things on every month already. And it's just people that I don't think you would see at these events.
There wasn't a Young Farmers on Arran.
The Young Farmers on Arran technically started 80 years ago this year, but then it disbanded in 1993. I think my dad was the chair 2 years prior. It doesn't matter if you live in a flat in the CBD of Glasgow or if you live in extensive parts of Dunnethead, for example. The more people that is, the better. We're the largest rural youth group in the country at the minute, but I think from a economic growth of the country, I think the more people doing this, the better, because you learn so much. You learn how to run a business, but you also learn how to make a lemon drizzle cake. Brilliant. And I would just advise anyone to do it. And I know there's that fear of, I don't know anyone. I get it. I've done it three times. I've went to three different clubs where I didn't know anyone, and I've always felt welcome.
It's great to hear this bucking the trend, given that there is this sort of sense of farming at the moment that a lot of young people are not going into, they're dissuaded from going into the sector because potentially they don't see a future if family farms have been sold or split up. It doesn't seem to be particularly buoyant.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing is it's easy to look externally and see farming as, which are all very important jobs before I mention them, but see farming as tractor driver, milker, farm manager, sheeder, whatever. Brilliant. And the people that do them are great at them. And there's some fantastic money to be made in all of those jobs. But there's so many things. I mean, I mentioned Elspeth there, pharmacist, myself, probably in communications. Joanne, who's now taken on comms and marketing chair, architect. It's everything. Glenn, who's taken on vice chair of comms and marketing, is actually a journalist. I would never change the name Young Farmers. I don't think that's right. But we do need to do something. I tried this as chair to attract those that aren't as well. The sector will benefit from that. You know, those people will find themselves going into jobs because they're working with all their mates and they're like, oh, maybe I want to try something with the NFU. Let's see what that involves, you know? And then that's a way to get that, again, background diversity into the sector, which is where new ideas come from.
I'm just, you know, listening to you talk about your Nuffield. You touched upon that, which I can imagine was an incredibly inspiring and a good thing to do for you personally and professionally. Just how you take a step back, look at what you're doing and think, right, where do I want to go to now? You're pretty open to opportunities that come your way and you're sort of, you're in the adventure at the moment, learning for you and just always being open to different things. It sounds like your mindset is that you're always open to new experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
How does that help, I suppose? How does that help you?
That's a good question. If you ask Yasmin, she'd be like, I kind of wish she said no more, I'm sure. But you know, one of the things, one of the Farmstrong principles that take notice or something like that?
Yes.
In my presentation, when I present in Aberdeen for Nuffield in November, I'm going to end it on a few things, but one of the things that's on that page is take stock. And I think the reason for that was, is kind of coming down to that winter I've just had. Just flying through life, everything was amazing, but I never even noticed what I'd done. Because I was just like, well, but now Monday's here, I've got to wait for the next thing to happen. But now everything I do, even like sitting here at Hillsgreen, when I leave in an hour after this call, I'm probably going to have a look at the office and think, yeah, this was a fun part of my life. I'm really glad I did this. Whereas before, it would be get in the car and the next thing's got to happen. I'm going to go to Rhys Heath College in a couple hours' time. After that, I'm going to look back and I'll be like, well, that was something I didn't think I was going to be doing, you know? So yeah, looking back is very important, I think, and just sort of being aware of what's happening. But the learning thing is a thing that's grown over time. Mum always said two things: smile and the whole world smiles with you, and secondly, every day's a school day. And I'm like, stop just reading the cliche book. But they're so true. That, I mean, I live by both of those. I really do.
So, and it did sink in. Mum's words do sink in. Do they eventually?
You pretend when you're younger they don't, but no, I think they definitely do. They definitely do. But I'm the Labrador energy one. I'm probably always having a laugh about something that the awkward thing's said and everyone else is quiet and I probably laugh and make a joke. I enjoy being happy. It's a nice thing to be. And it sounds so tragic to say that, but that shouldn't be a weird thing to admit. But then secondly, the every day's a school day thing is so true. People probably think it's annoying. You know, we have a discussion here, something that I didn't know. I think they think I'm trying to prove them wrong. I don't Google anymore, to be fair. I just used ChatGPT and I Googled in the last year. But just looking it up and being like, why is that? Why is that? Just 10 minutes before this call, I was with the mate and I was looking up how pasteurizing impacts lactase and how the fact that that's impacting lactose intolerant people, when you pasteurize, it makes it harder to have that milk. Like, that was the thing I was looking up this morning. And that's a new thing to know. And that's interesting. That's probably a thing I'm going to use down the line. I don't really hear things and think, oh, okay, I just want to find out why. We don't have forever on this planet. It's fun to try and find out as much as you can, you know.
What's the one thing you do every day? Or do you have habits that you just try and do every day that make you feel better, not just physically, mentally?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's funny you say that, isn't it? I say that's a good question when I don't know the answer.
You can't look up ChatGPT for that one. Yeah, that's got to come from you, Wallace.
Yeah, for sure. I think every day, and this is going to be really strange, I think every day I'll try and find a podcast guest. And I get quite a lot from that, because I've got like three things that I need to hit. I'm like, one, can they chat for an hour? Two, do they have an interesting story? And three, is this something I'm going to be interested enough that I am going to offer a high quality podcast?
Who's on your radar at the moment?
Like, who's coming up to be filmed, or who am I?
Who are you keen to approach? Put it out there, manifest it.
Data Mack on. I think that's got to be the next.
She's long gone.
Sarah Stephen, sorry, apologies. Apologies, my bad. I don't really do that. I think if I think of someone, I'm in touch with them. Chris Tyso is supposed to be coming on, that owns like Tyso Clothing. We've just got to organise that. But yeah, I don't really have, I better get in touch with them, because I know what happens. The second that thought's not the thought, I'm not going to get in touch with them.
And so one thing you do every day is think about who you'd like to speak to physically. Is there something you do every day?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if every day, but walking's been a big part for a few years now, but I've started some strongman. Definitely not every day. That would be pretty silly, to be fair, but maybe four times a week. Traveling makes it tricky for sure, which I pretty much always do. But yeah, whenever I get back, shout out Christian Roots. He's been training me. I managed to lift quarter of a ton for 6 meters last week, which is very exciting.
I love the sort of strongman look, actually, down to, you know, a T actually with a beard.
Do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do. Just don't have the muscles for it, you know.
Oh, they'll come. They'll come. You seem a determined young man. I suppose my final question has to be, Wallace, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I shouldn't have given you that information, should I? Have I got anything at the minute that has got a 5-year term on it? I don't think. Oh, maybe. I've been added to the first ever European Rural Youth Parliament Advisory Board.
That's an acronym, if there ever was one.
E-RIPE, I believe it is, which is what I was reading out to my head because I couldn't remember how to say it. Which is probably, you know, if you're asking me where I see myself in 5 years, that's probably the biggest change from where things are at the minute. I wouldn't be surprised if I was lecturing again. It's just my comfort zone. Being in the classroom is. I just love it. But I think if I'm going to try and say something that's different to what I'm already doing, which I'm sure a lot will still be happening, I want to try policy, politics, and try that, which is crazy because I know nothing about it. But there's so many things that I've been actively involved in, like petitions that I've got 14,000 signatures and various things. I don't for a minute think I figureheaded that petition. I was actively involved and I actually stepped back for a while, but I can't claim credit. But things like that are of massive interest to me for the things I believe in. And I just get a bit tired of folk getting angry at things. And I'm like, but why are you just sitting at your kitchen table and getting angry at things? Like, go and have the discussions with the people that can make it happen or become the person that can.
Get involved.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
Lean in, as Sheryl Sandberg says. Lean in.
I like that a lot.
Take a seat at the table is another one I learned. Just take a seat at the table.
Yeah, and I'm unable to take a seat without speaking. So there's like the next step as well. So I think that'll probably be, I don't think that'll be a ridiculous guess for 5 years.
No, I like that. Well, you know, you did miss the perfect opportunity, didn't you? Wallace, where do you want to be in 5 years' time?
Oh, I don't want to know where I want to be in 5 years' time, Sarah.
They're going to have to be really good at cutting this.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think we better be actually doing this and make it a challenge for them.
Oh, well, listen, you're what a bright young thing you are, Mr. Curry. It's been lovely speaking to you. I wish you all the best. I'm sure you light up rooms when you enter them and people want to speak to you and you enjoy speaking to people. It's a great skill to have. Not everybody has it. And it's a nice way to make a living.
Yeah, it is. And very kind words about me.
Good luck. And our paths may cross physically. I won't be doing any abseiling, though, or strongman competitions.
You know, one thing on that, our paths haven't crossed before, but I have followed in your footsteps. I was the presenter of Highland Show TV last year.
Oh, well, there you go. I was going to say, I used to do it with Doogie, so there were big shoes to fill, but I thought that would come across as really sort of like conceited. I meant Doogie's, not mine.
For sure. Fair enough. But here, I think I was definitely a last choice after you two. But no, it was good fun. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, so. That's very sweet of you, Noah. Well, well done, you. It's a great show to be involved in. It's a great show, full stop, and a fantastic showcase for the industry. It's a great 5 days. You feel a bit of a bubble when you come out of it. Well, listen, all the best, Wallace, with everything that comes your way.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. Find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with Farmstrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.